Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
New Zealand sporting history. Our regular slot on a Thursday, and we now have a podcast to go with it. Check it out on the podcast page if you enjoy our Thursday chats. You can hear in the first season the stories of Chris Lewis and Aaron Baker and Eliza McCartney and Lois Muir and more, Lois Muir that is, and more, all on the RNZ podcast page. Well, in 1995, Team New Zealand made history, winning the America's Cup for the first time and crushing the until then legendary sailor Dennis Connor in the process. But there was another major storyline lurking in the background of that win. A history-making team of all women, America cubed, came agonisingly close to being in that final themselves, and at the helm was none other than Kiwi Olympic silver medalist and trailblazer Leslie Egnott, who joins me now. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for inviting me on your show.
Oh, we're so excited to meet you and to hear things from your perspective, so thanks for your time today. And I think when Kiwis think of that 95 Cup win, obviously we think of Team New Zealand, but this is arguably an even more compelling or equally compelling story. Had women sailed in an America's Cup before?
Before the all-women's team, there had been a couple of women that had sailed on boats before in less physical sort of roles, such as timekeeper, maybe navigator as well, but never before a boat full of women. Like
yeah.
This.
So you, of course, were up the front and, well, you were leading, I should say. Tell me where you came from. When did you and how did you discover sailing?
I grew up in Christchurch and it was really lucky where we lived in Redcliffs. There was a yacht club just down the road from us, Christchurch Yacht Club. And I had a young friend who had a boat. His name was Alistair. And he let me learn to sail in his boat. In fact, he taught me in his backyard. We'd rig it up and he would pull me around his backyard, showing me which way the boat would turn if I pushed the tiller, you know, one way.
Yeah.
And so on. And so he got me into it. And my parents, neither of them were sailors, but they were so supportive of all of my different sporting activities. And they eventually bought me a boat of my own, a WP class. And so I learned to sail at Christchurch Yacht Club just down the road. It was a great place to sail on the estuary there.
Lots of hard work, but you loved it, huh?
Just took to it. Just loved being on the water. Wouldn't matter what sort of boat it was, whether it was a kayak or dinghy or a sailing boat. I just wanted to be out there.
And I imagine you tip out occasionally in those early days.
Yes. When I learned to sail, it was in the P class. They didn't have an Optimist in those days, which is a lot more stable.
Yeah.
These boats are quite unstable. And so the only way to learn was to learn through lots of capsizing. In fact, the first 5 minutes I tried sailing, I think I'd capsize straight away. And I can remember particular races where time after time I would just cartwheel after cartwheel, probably capsizing about 20 times in one race.
Oh, gosh.
In the stronger, blustery nor'wester breeze in Christchurch. But it teaches you a lot. And they always used to say that P-class was New Zealand's secret weapon in sailing because it taught you everything you needed to know about sailing.
Gosh.
So, gave me a great grounding.
And when you looked around at your yacht club, were there many other girls?
No, not too many. It was predominantly boys sailing and men as well at that stage. So it was a bit of a novelty having girls learning to sail there. There was just a handful of other girls giving it a go as well at that time.
So not many people who looked like you and obviously some pretty tough times at first. So what is it about you that thinks well, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to work this out, and I don't care if I'm one of the only girls, and I don't care if it's really hard.
Yeah, I just think I loved not just the competitive nature of sailing, but I also loved competing against the elements and, using the wind and the currents to your best ability and having nature out there, whether it's a penguin floating past you or dolphins if you're lucky. I just love being out on the water, as well as the whole competitive aspect of it. And it just made me want to be on the water all the time. Yeah.
I imagine as a teenage girl or young, a girl about to be in her teens, the boys would have had a bit more strength and maybe size. Does that matter in sailing?
That age, we're about 13 to 15. The size, the boys weren't too much bigger than me, just a little bit bigger. But they do say that the female brain at that age actually develops a bit sooner. So
yes.
In a way, I feel that I had a bit of an advantage because just being a little bit more mature with my thinking, because sailing is quite a mental sport, and not being too much smaller than the guys, it actually, you can compete quite closely at that age. And in fact, you can be just as competitive as the guys at that younger age, I feel.
Ran into a little-known sailor called Russell Coutts one school holidays. Did that have a big impact on you?
Actually, he was a great help. We had nationals coming up in Dunedin one year, and so we used to travel down in the school holidays in the winter and train down there with the kids from Timaru and Dunedin as well. And Russell had just finished sailing that class, so he kindly was one of the coaches and helped us kids through the holidays. So it was freezing cold down there and snowing and that. So I have vivid memories of my sailing down there. The yacht clubs didn't have separate showers for the girls at that stage. So you'd have to wait for all the boys to finish using all the hot water first, and then you'd finally get to jump into the shower there. And my dad would have to stand as a bit of a guard outside the boys' shower to make sure no one accidentally came in. But the yacht clubs weren't set up for girls to sail in those days.
And just mentioning Russell Coutts, I know he can be a bit of a polarising character, but I've got a friend with a boy, young boy, who's learned to sail, and Russell devotes a lot of his time to helping the next generation still, even 30 years later. Is this sort of the case when you're coming?
He does a lot.
Yeah, he does. And often, invisibly, not for publicity.
Exactly.
Leslie, is it the case that you sort of, as you're coming up through the ranks, that you sort of master one sort of yacht and then go to a different class and have to start again?
Pretty much it is, yes. After sailing the P class, I went straight into the 470, which was an Olympic class. And that was quite a big jump.
Yeah.
I'm sailing a junior.
And sorry, Leslie, I skipped over. You actually won a huge event in that P class against 100 kids. So awesome. You're on the right track at this point. So, yeah, you would have been thinking, well, this maybe is the sport for me now.
Well, definitely, yes, yeah. Whether I'd won that event or not, sailing was definitely my sport. It's what I loved. I went straight from that into the Olympic 470 class. And that stage, there was no separate event for women, so you needed to sail with a guy pretty much to be competitive against the men. So I sailed with several different crews for a period of time, and we were up against some tough competition. Back in those days, we had, I think at World Championships, we'd have 8 New Zealand boats in the top 10.
Gosh.
It was a really strong
period
of time in that class. And so that was fantastic for me to come through then, because I could learn from the experience of all of these great sailors that were doing so well. And then eventually in 88, they announced that there's going to be a separate event for women in the 470 class.
Wow.
So
that Seoul it was, right?
For a lot more women to sail. Yes, yes. And so then I started sailing with women sailors as well to try to get to those Olympics, and it was unfortunate we missed out on being the ones to represent New Zealand at Seoul. But I was lucky because I got to go as a traveling reserve, and it was fantastic experience for me because I got to see all the pressures that the athletes were under, but without being under it myself. So I learned a lot from watching from the inside, really. It was great.
Did you go back and
Yeah,
start
I just.
thinking, how can I make sure that the 92 Olympics are a memorable one for me?
Yes. So the biggest thing I learned was this, that it was the mental factor and how important it was to have a whole lot of mental plans to cope with the adversity and the pressure and so on. So when I got back from Seoul, I found a couple of good sports psychology books, and I just used them as my Bible and would read them over and over again and take the techniques out of the books that suited me. To try to make me stronger in that regard. And I think that really helped me a lot, and put us in good stead for 92 at the Olympics. And when I sailed with Jan Shearer, we combined together, and a lot of it was using sports psychology as well, because we were having to work as a team and overcoming adversity together. It was a good lesson to learn, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about Barcelona.
Oh, it was amazing experience. They put on a great venue. In fact, it's where the America's Cup is, that's coming up soon,
Right.
the same venue, I think. But we had long races, much longer than what they do now, and so our regatta was seven races. And you were only allowed to drop one race out of those seven. And unfortunately, our very first race of the event, we got a disqualification because we were just over the line at the start, along with a few other boats.
Oh,
And so that
gosh.
meant that we couldn't afford to have any more bad races after that. And so we did well. I guess the highlight was one of the highlights was the very last race of the Olympics, is that we actually clean out and won it quite convincingly, which was very cool. I won't forget that day. And then to have, managed to have won a silver medal there, that was really special as well.
Yeah. So that was would have been by any measure a career highlight, but things were just beginning for you there. I'm speaking with Leslie Egnott in our series on sporting history. Where does Dawn Riley fit in?
Dawn, I guess she was helping to put together the all-women's team for America's Cup. She was one of the sailors that had already been selected, and she was in the sort of core group that were helping to put it together. And with Bill Koch, who was the major funder of the event, and she happened to be in New Zealand at one stage. And so after the Olympics, I was doing a women's keelboat nationals, and we were short of a sailor. And I didn't know her at this time, but a friend of mine, Joy, said, "Why don't we get this girl, Dawn Riley, to fit on the boat? She'd be great." And I said, "Well, I don't know her at all, but if you're vouching for her, Joy, let's grab her." And so she sailed with us, and she got talking about what she was doing back in the States, putting this team together. And I said, "Well, Dawn, do you know I was actually born in America, and I still have my US passport. Is that something that I could have a go at and trial to see if I could make the team?" And so she put me in contact with Kimo, who was one of the coaches and selectors for the team. And I think it was one of the things that gave me a foothold in the foot in the door was the fact that Jan and I had won the silver medal at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So, that sort of put me in good stead because I just literally had to send in an application along with, I think, 700 other people, other women,
Yeah.
applied to get on the team. And so they sort of shortlisted it down to about 70, I think, to actually go across and do selection trials. And so I was lucky to be one of those. And just before I flew out to go to the selection trial, I phoned up Russell at Team New Zealand. They were out training in Auckland at the time, and I said, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do, but I've never sailed one of these boats before. Can I come out with you guys and just see what it's like?
Yeah.
And of course, they said yes, and I was able to go out with them and on their boat and just have a go,
and
see what it's like. Because these boats are more than twice as big as anything I'd ever sailed before. And so, again, that put me in good stead when I went over there for my trial. At least I'd had a go on the boat before, because a lot of the women hadn't. You know, only Dawn, I think, was one of the only ones that had ever sailed on the boat before. So,
I mentioned,
speaking of Dawn before,
go on.
She was on the team, like Bill Koch, he had an America's Cup team in the previous cup called America Cubed, and his team won the America's Cup, and Dawn was on that team as well. So, so she did have the experience there.
What was his motivation?
And I guess having heard
that, Leslie,
for me.
What was Bill Koch's? Why did he want to do this?
You know, he kind of felt, I think, that hey, I've won this now. What do I do next? You know, what's the next challenge? And I think that it was. He wanted to prove that a woman's team, a boat with a woman, could win the America's Cup, because he truly believed in the technology of it all, and the science and the boat speed. And if you could build a boat fast enough, you could win it, you know, even if it's with women that have never sailed in the America's Cup before. He felt it could be done, and he wanted to prove that. So it was amazing. Without him, we wouldn't have had a team at all. You know, he really was the major funder for it, you know, there's a lot of other fundraising that went on, but without him, it never would have got going.
Do you remember the moment when you found out you'd been selected?
Because it was a bit scary, because you still wondered, is it for real?
Yeah.
Is it really going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, because it was so out there, like in your wildest dreams, you'd never believe that it actually was going to be reality. And so it was quite a major decision to actually go and do it. And especially my husband, Dave, you know, he had an amazing job here in Auckland, and he had to leave that job and come with me to live in San Diego for a year. So it wasn't an easy decision to make, but I'm so glad we did. Yeah, it was such a cool opportunity.
And at what point were you selected to be skipper? I guess they weren't going to choose a rower or a powerlifter. I know there'd been there are a few different sorts of sportswomen on the team, but what a huge honour for you to get that call up.
So kind of just morphed into being the skipper. I was steering the boat. I was the helm.
Yeah.
And it just, with time, it kind of morphed into it that it became my position, I guess, to do that role. It wasn't easy for me, you know, because sailing the Four Senior Jam with two people, and I'd done a little bit of experience, you know, in the women's keelboat with six or seven, and then to step up to this, and I was sort of a Kiwi girl and all the rest are American. It was quite a daunting task, a bit of an adventure for me, really.
Tell me about Dennis Connor, and what did he make of you guys?
Dennis, I think he was pretty worried that we were going to beat him, basically. I think so. He pulled out all stops, because there's no way that he wanted to get beaten by us. You know, he's an amazing man. They don't call him Mr. America's Cup for no reason. You know, he knows how to win. Of course, we probably had a few issues back then, but it's all by the by now.
Yeah.
He was, it was pretty amazing opportunity to race against someone that I'd followed, you know, for all my younger days. Yeah, so to to race him. That very first race against him was quite an experience, yeah.
I will say, and I know you'll be too gracious to say it, that it's unfortunate that someone who's such a legend could be so nasty in the lead-up to those races, but perhaps he was doing it for competitive reasons. Perhaps he wanted to get in your head and give himself a psychological advantage, but yeah, that seems like a shame to me.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't just us. You've seen videos of other situations where he's been, you know,
he was an equal opportunity insulter.
It's not the Kiwi way, is it?
No. Okay, tell me about the tournament then.
Well, the very first race was probably one of the most memorable for me, because we'd been together for 11 months, and most of us had never sailed the boat before. We had Olympic rowers on the boat. Power lifters, we needed women doing the muscle jobs of the grinding those the winches. There's so much weight on them. So we had a group of women who had didn't know each other and never sailed that boat before, and we had 11 months to prepare. And I think we did pretty well in that, you know, for such a short space of time. In that first race, there was so much lead up to it because there'd been a lot of people who were really negative about our team and saying that we wouldn't be able to get the boat around the racetrack, let alone race it competitively. And the very first race, who do we go up against but Dennis Connor and his team? And it was just such a great feeling that we managed to come through and win that race. And that just gave us all a huge boost, and that all that training and hard work was worth it just, you know, for that moment, really, initially. Yeah,
you started to believe at that point?
Definitely, yeah.
And did you feel the love did you feel the love from people who are watching at home?
From all over the world, really. Messages of support started flooding through, especially as the regatta went on and word spread. It was huge, back then, that huge amount of media attention on this as well. But it was just great to get the letters of support that came through.
It seems, looking at the results, that you got better and better during that that tournament. Would that be fair?
We had our ups and downs. I think we got a new boat called Mighty Mary towards the end of the regatta. I think it's about the quarterfinals, and it was it looked fantastic, but it was very much led by the rocket scientists that designed it. Us sailors didn't get much input into the design, so it was quite out of balance and out of whack. Yeah, so it was a very hard boat to steer. It had a very long rudder on it, and the rudder would actually flex in the waves and the big swells of San Diego, so it made it really hard to steer. And the mast was a little bit too far back, I think, at that stage. So, yeah, it was sort of a wee bit out of whack. So I felt that we didn't go as well as what we could have, maybe if we'd stuck to the old boat. But the new boat was the latest and greatest. It was meant to be the rocket ship type thing. But with our lack of experience, it was really hard for us to be able to say outright, this is wrong. You know, we tended to go with the scientists who designed the winning America's Cup boat the previous time. And we thought, okay, well, it's got to be us. It's not the boat. It's the problem. But, it was quite tricky to sail. So I think we lost a few races when we started off with that boat, but sort of came right again at the end.
Probably a good time to mention another Leslie Egnott, who was watching on TV from New Zealand.
Oh, my granddad, my granddad. He's actually Leslie Hines.
Oh, my apologies, yes.
And that's okay. And that's where we feel that we've got the love of the sea from, because he, when he was 13, he forged his passport to be 16 so he could go to sea, and he spent his life sailing around the world in brigantines and barks. He's been around Cape Horn and several times, and then shipwrecks and all sorts of adventures at sea. And so he was so thrilled that one of his grandkids had actually got into sailing, because I was the only one that was at that stage that was interested in it. And so he followed my sailing career very closely, and he was in a hospice when I was competing in the America's Cup in San Diego. He became quite unwell, but he managed to last to watch the very first race that we sailed against Enniskillen, and he said something like, "I've seen it all now. I can go now. I've seen everything." He was very proud and chuffed. So that was really special to me to know that he'd seen that first race.
We're getting low on time here, Leslie. How close did you come to winning that Defenders series and coming up against Team New Zealand?
We came so close. Yes, it was very controversial what happened. We'd had semi-finals, and we had a do or die race against Dennis Connor and his team, and we won that race. And so we thought we'd knocked him out and we would be in the finals of the Defender series. And we found out once the race was over, immediately after the race, "Oh, we've done a deal. We've decided to have a three-way final. So Dennis Connor's in." And the whole team went pretty flat. We were pretty, we went from being on such a high, thinking, "Yes, we're in and Dennis is out," to thinking, "Oh gosh, we're going to have to go through all this again." So we had a three-way final.
That's classic
And
Dennis Connery,
it was.
a semi-final involving three boats. He loses and somehow manages to get into the final anyway.
We'd done a deal. But, yeah, so he managed to beat us. I don't know if you guys watched the race, but we had final race against him and we had a massive lead. I think it was like 7 minutes, something huge. But it was a really a day of fickle winds. And on the final downwind run to the finish, we got stuck in a massive hole. And Dennis, who was way behind us, you could see him hoist his spinnaker at the top mark. And he had wind, and he managed to just take that wind, and he sailed around us, basically with us wallowing in no wind. And he came through and won by a minimal margin. Yeah, it was quite heartbreaking because that was it. That was the end of our America's Cup, that one race.
Very
Yes, it was
tough.
a, yeah, it was.
Leslie, you've contributed so much to the sport, provided so much excitement to so many people, and I know based on the messages that I'm getting that your son Nick is an incredibly good sailor, so you should be very proud of that. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, and thanks for taking us back to that exciting time in the mid-90s. Really appreciate it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.